On this episode, Nick and I are drinking some Freedom of Expression beers as we run down our top five beers so far of 2021. We talk about Forbidden Root, Goose Island's bourbon barreled seltzer, and a whole lot more. Let's get into it. Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, welcome to Chicago Beer Fast. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
This microphone, Brad. What's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're over here getting colorful.
The Freedom Mix Pack Series is in full effect. Probably brewed only in Chicago from Revolution Brewing.
And it's perfect because, what, isn't June Pride Month?
Oh, yeah.
So this episode's probably, we're recording at the end of May, so probably come out in June, kick off Pride Month here.
All month long. And I'm seeing it on the cereal boxes, too, where it's like you go to Frosted Flakes and on the side it says, you know, he, they, all okay. The pronouns.
Okay.
You know.
But the beer is just, it doesn't have any pronouns. It's just beer.
Can you switch pronouns? Like, if I decide I want to be they.
Yeah.
Can and then, like, in June and then July, can I be him again? Or are you stuck?
You can. That's kind of on you. But, you know, I feel like you should stick by. You got to stick with it.
Okay.
If you so pick it, you got to go.
You just got to, oh, so just put some more thought into it and then just make the move.
Yeah.
And don't go back.
Yeah. Once you decide.
I'm glad we're having this talk.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
But we're here to talk about beer. It just happened to be colorful. We're drinking the Freedom of Expression series. I am on the grape. Oh, not grape.
It's purple, though.
Yeah.
Like a grape. It's the Carant.
It's the Carant one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I got
they're kind of like grapes. They're like small. They're tiny grapes.
They're tiny grapes.
Yeah.
I hope we don't go down that rabbit hole of like, what's a Carant? Because I think what's a plum has haunted me for like 2 calendar years now. I'm drinking the strawberry rhubarb.
Okay, nice. So. And we've had this like little 12 pack for a little while now since it was first launched, and we're finally kind of getting around to drinking it. We were drinking it, I think, on a live stream at one point.
Yeah, but... proper glassware.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about how this was in tallboy cans. And how, even though I like looking at the tall boy can more, this makes way more sense. You know, put it in the big boy.
You're more of a looker.
Yeah. What is it? It's because it's 12 packs, right?
Yeah, it's 12 pack in 12-ounce cans. It's just easier to drink, easier to consume. They are like, I don't know. I don't want 16 ounces.
You don't need 16 of one. Yeah, yeah, you don't. You know, does it even fit in a glass? You
know, I don't know.
They don't fit in these fancy Freedom of Expression glasses.
The 16-ounce ones?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite already? Do you know? You went for rhubarb first, so that must have been.
Yeah, it's because it's the most fun in the glass.
Okay.
You know, like the Carant one has like a, it doesn't really have like a purple hue. It's got more of like a, I don't know. It leans more of a like a
beer color,
ruby gold or something.
Yeah,
doesn't really. And then the these are different. So there's Carant, and then there's blueberry ginger. Blueberry ginger is fun to look at too.
Yeah,
but I think that's why I went for it because I knew it would be red.
And then
in
we have the peach.
So,
but we're drinking these because we want to talk about. We're halfway through the year, and we wanted to talk about our five favorite beers from the year, like. Remember it, so we're at the halfway point, so come December or January we can be like, all right, we got 5, we need 10 now, what's our 10 favorite beers of the year?
It makes total sense. And I remember we were kind of riffing after like a couple recordings a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was definitely on the list
because
I love these beers. These are some of my favorite beers so far.
And we're not, this one, we're saying all of these because I don't know, it's whatever your flavor is.
There will be no parsing of which flavor reigns supreme within the Freedom Pack.
Right.
No.
So this one's a 4-4. You get 4-for-1 here. and these are going to be in no particular order. They're just kind of the ones we've had that are our favorites. They may not be the best beers of the year, but they're the ones we had and the ones we remember the most.
Yeah, and considering where Session Sours were in this town, the Kettle Sour is what they were called. Mm-hmm. Considering where they were when people first started making them to, you know, this more refined effort that you see with Rev, and then, you know, the whole Wild program with Half Acre, and then the fun Wild stuff that Off Color puts out, and like just these types of beers in general are different than when they first made their debut a few years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and we talk all the time, you know, Rosa walked and, you know, got kicked and, you know, got rocks thrown at her. She walked so we could get to this point of the Freedom Expression Series running, man. And mm-hmm. It's cool.
Yeah. So that's, I guess, first on the list. And then you mentioned Half Acre. So I think next on the list would be the On and On. But it's also a Rev beer. So this is, we've only had On and On part one. So it's really a Rev beer.
What's wrong with us? But yeah, it is.
Does part two exist?
They're selling their assets. You know, who knows what's next out of that place?
Yeah.
Avery Swanson might not be there anymore. There might not be there's a name for the Cove. I think it's called the Cove, yeah, where they did the Wild stuff. And who knows where On and On part two is, because part two is supposed to come out of Half Acre.
Right.
But that On and On part one, though.
Uh-huh. We did a video for it for YouTube. I don't think I put it up yet, so you can probably find that at some point. But yeah, that's a tasty beer. We have one more can of it that we might try to save for part two.
The only crew in town that takes pride in rye beers at all, mm-hmm, is Revolution. You know, they're like, we had to. In fact, they kind of said we focus on making barley wine sexy, so that we could get to a point where rye wine was sexy.
Okay.
You know, so you can name the rye beers that came out around Chicago probably on one hand. You know, I mean, Goose had a Roggen beer on draft a lot. It was like a rye wheat ale.
Okay.
On draft, McKellar and Floyd's had a rye wine at one point, but there's just not a lot of crews in general that are putting out rye beers at all.
Right. I think Two Brothers still has a rye beer.
They got a rye beer.
Like just a, what's it called? I'm blanking on the name of it.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. So, yeah. But On and On, it's like 14%. It was a big beer when we dove into it like a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Hell yeah. It's big. It's dangerous. Crazy fun, like, texture. Mm-hmm. Right? It's kind of soft and pillowy. And, yeah, it's spicy. It's chocolatey. It was just, you know, kind of marshmallowy a little bit.
Yeah.
I really like that beer a lot. Oh. Yeah, and that's a rye porter.
And that's one you can't even get now. Like, you can go out and buy these Freedom Series, but that one, it's gone and gone. So.
On and On, it's gone and gone, man.
So that one's a little tough. That's probably like the hardest one to get on our beers we had this year so far.
Yeah.
And then another one would be LeBee's.
Oh, man.
Two episodes ago, we were drinking that, and that beer just kind of hit all the right feels.
Yeah. Omega Yeast Labs.
Which we don't think is out of business now.
How could they be, right?
Right.
I'm going to go into Chicago-style IPA, formerly known as New England-style IPA, but then back-to-back golds for these beers,
yeah,
on the Northwest side, and then they say, to celebrate that, they're like, hey, let's just make a variant that kind of pays tribute to them both.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the things you want out of a haze.
Yeah, and I believe it might already be sold out. So another one that's tough to get, but there was a lot. There was a good amount of it made. So it's around a little bit if people picked it up. And I'm sure Old Irving and maybe Alarmist has some on CAG still.
Yeah. And I thought it was fun because we had kind of a deconstructed LeBee's, right, where we had LeJuice and Beezer.
Yeah.
And it was fun to just kind of see the differences, right? I think, what was it? I want to say it was Bees that kind of leaned into those more traditional kind of like bitter, more herbal hops. And it was the other one, LeJuice, that was more kind of like the really soft orange juice notes, you know, kind of pineapple, those kind of vibes. Yeah. So they are different. And then this is kind of right down the middle.
Yeah. A little more, we said on the podcast, a little more bees than That's juice, right. but.
We did say that. Yeah.
It was nice. I still have a couple cans at the house. So, yeah, it's tasty. If you can find some, if you could try it, pick that one up. And I think that one may stand out over the course of the year. It's like a fun collaboration. And I think in come December, we'll be like, oh, remember when we had the bees?
Yeah. And then the two unlikeliest crews to win gold in the IPA category at GABF. I think we were saying there's no way you would have just going in and standing on the list. There's no way you probably would even pick those crews to win.
Right.
And they both won. So it's really cool to celebrate that.
And winning gold for both those crews, I think, helped them out a lot. Like Alarmist, like, was doing fine. They had pantsless and they were just kind of finding their groove, and then getting that goal just kind of like shot them up to people like, hey, what the hell are you guys doing over here?
Yeah, changes everything. Anybody mm-hmm. that wants to have like any kind of local presence at whatever kind of thing they're running, whether it's a hotel or a bar or, you know, anything, all of a sudden now they're banging on Alarmist's door for that beer.
Right.
So that's good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then next on the list, I'm going to say it's Basement Party.
You know, I will not disagree with this.
This was a rare find.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's part of the joy in Basement Party, is that it's totally unexpected. I don't think anyone, well, the only reason I know about it is because you brought it.
Right.
But I don't know if anybody kind of led you to it. I think you just kind of came upon it, right?
I was there. They had it. And I was like, this is good. I don't know. Like, I don't even know. It might have came out last year. It could be a beer.
It could be
from their like catalog, and just the fact that I happen to be at Temperance, and it's like, well, this beer is fun. It looks cool, and you can just crush them and enjoy them, and like continue on with your day too.
Yeah, and it's beer that just made me happy when I drank it,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if there's much more to it than that.
Right.
I just felt better,
and it like encompassed the pandemic name of two, because everyone was like, either they're just partying at their house in their basements or backyards.
Very
and
true.
Like,
you're either at home solo or you're in your bubble in someone else's space.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was good. And that one I think is just going to be a core lineup from Temperance up in Skokie.
I tell you, good for them, because outside of what's the one that they won with the English IPA, the English. Outside of that one.
Not the mild. We had the
We had the English mild. But yeah. I'm talking Gatecrasher.
Gatecrasher, yeah.
Outside of Gatecrasher, I don't know if you just kind of single them out for one particular beer. And now I feel like that's the beer I think about.
Yeah.
When I think about them.
I do think of Songbird, but then I get confused with Finch with them. And then
Is this the one with like pineapple gold nail or some shit?
No, I think that's the
Songbird's a Saison.
Yeah. Okay. And then every time I get it, I like the can, I like the name, and then I'm like, I didn't really want a Saison. Like, every time I have a Saison, that's just me. I'm like, I didn't really want this.
Yeah.
But
I want to say the very first on location episode of Beer Pass was Temperance.
That's yeah.
Yeah. So
crazy.
That's cool.
So yeah, so we got one more on our list, and then we got a little shout out here. We got Seps or Seeps.
Oh yeah, the Conrad Seep, Sep, Sipe,
yeah,
Brewing Company.
And we're going the classic, the first one, not this the second coming.
I think the second one was it was a little darker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to. It was a dark lager. I can't think of what style they were calling it. But the first one was just a straight up pre-prohibition lager, and it was called like Sipe's Extra Pale.
Right.
you know, I think back in the day, you know, Bader Brau was a reboot, right? And the beer Bader Brau, all the other beers were just kind of stuff they made up. But the original Bader Brau Pilsner was based off the original Bader Brau.
Okay.
But then that came and gone. We're probably like 4 years removed from that. So this is a beer, you know, you've seen this before, where it's like just paying tribute to Chicago's past. I think this was I want to say was it a World's Fair beer, or was that the second one?
That was the second one, yeah.
Okay.
The Columbian Expedition one was the second one. This one, Doug, they just kind of looked at the recipe or looked at the tasting notes, because there was no recipe, and kind of figured out what they thought the beer might have been like.
Yeah.
And that's a great beer. Like, I will. It's in bottles. I believe it came out towards the end of 2020, the first run, and it sold out pretty quickly.
That sounds about right, because the second one was early April.
Yeah. So, and I don't know. When I see it now, I, like, kind of want to pick it up. One, it's like a classic style, and it's in bottles. Yeah. So it's like, feel like, I don't know, extra throwback when you're drinking that beer.
It's true. And then it's made by Metro, who is out of bottles now. They're in cans. They were the last Chicago holdout to go to cans. So then they released this brown bottle beer that's paying tribute to, you know, a lager from long, long ago.
Yeah.
And then when they did the launch party for the second beer, the granddaughter was there, and we were talking about this on the show, how, you know, this brewery, it sat where what now would be modern day McCormick Place, just, you know, just south of there, and it was too far south to be affected by Chicago fire. So when the city burned down, you know, they were right there making beer the whole time, and eventually became the biggest brewery in town.
Yeah, so it was good. On the Chicago fire thing, Maeve, she's talking about stuff, or she found like old photos of roads. And the fact that the Chicago fire happened and most of the roads at the time were wood.
That's right.
So that just was like...
fucked everything up,
that
right?
Just added to the whole fact of it. It's like, oh, literally the fire would be just going down the road. Like if a fire happened today, not only do we have stuff to like delay it, but it's not moving as quickly as it would have. Because one, buildings are all mostly brick now, or a lot of them, and... The roads are not wood.
Yeah. The roads were wood, and then the bridges over the river were wood. And then back then, the river was so low and so dirty and full of toxins that parts of the river caught on fire.
Right. Like,
it was the worst possible scenario, this fire. The fire burned from Soldier Field all the way up to, like, fucking Fullerton.
Well, yeah. The world stopped right outside of where Wicker Park and Bucktown was, and that's kind of why that area grew, because... was not affected by the fire.
Wow. Man. Wow.
So, was that our five? That was our five. Our
I like
five
that.
Beers.
That's a good flow. I like that.
But then we got a shout out to a non-beer.
Okay.
The RTJ Lemonade Seltzer.
Oh, man.
That beverage is good. Like, it's great. It's great.
I will take 16 ounces of that. In fact, that's what I drank last week.
Okay.
So, little RTJ4. Really the only stateside release for RTJ beer that I can think of, right, was Salamo City Water.
For this time?
This time around.
Yeah.
In the past, it's been, you know, Pipeworks a couple times, and some other folks and some New York breweries. Well, No Save Point had more breweries involved.
Oh, okay.
Right. But this one, I think, only had...
City Water?
City Water and like a couple, like, you know, Belgian breweries.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't see much on it.
So that one was super fun. And maybe it's probably the best seltzer I've had even this year, too.
Zero sugars, organic.
1% back because it's a city water. So 1% to the lakes, 1% to the, yeah, it's like 111 or something.
Yeah. And it's delicious.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'm not even, like, looking out for seltzers like that. But I was like, yeah, let me get a 4-pack of that.
Yeah, when I see it, I'm like, at Binny's, I was like, well, I'll get this, too. Like, another one. I was like, I need this every time I see it. I'm like, oh, this is always good.
Yeah, it sucked because I was at Binny's, and I went to the beer aisle and went up and down and got mad because I didn't see it. But then I had to go a couple rows over to the
seltzer.
Cider. Yeah, and I found it there.
So that's our list. LeBee's. On and on, Seeps, Basement Party, Freedom of Session, and then RTJ Pink Lemonade.
These boys got two lagers, a barrel-aged Imperial Porter, Pink Lemonade Seltzer, and...
Kettle Sours and a
and a Kettle Sour.
I feel like that's like a good...
These guys.
That's like a good mix of beers.
And when we talked about this, it all... All the things we said, we just kind of fired them off right away. These were the first things we thought about.
Mm-hmm.
They were the things we remembered the most.
Right.
So,
and the things we also go back to, like all these beers, although On and On you can't really get. LeBee's, we go to Old Irving and we go to Larmus a lot because we enjoy their stuff. And so we just kept going back to these beers multiple times. So I think that's why not only are they great, we just enjoyed them and wanted to have more of them.
I think that piece is important.
Yeah.
It really is. Because this shit kind of gets old. Like, oh, well, you know, you didn't see it that day. Well, that's it. That's it,
right,
for you,
bud. Because we have, like, these cuvées here. It's like, oh, that's great. But it's not, I can't get it anymore. And it's not great enough to be like, you got to go try it. It's great to have. I don't know. Like, some of those, like, Deepwood series, they're really, really good. But they're not. I didn't have more than one, so I can't be like, that was the best thing.
I hear that. Yeah. If we stepped outside of that, I like some of the curvature stuff. But, yeah. But, like, maybe as a year-end thing, because offhand, I couldn't tell you. All the bottles look alike. I couldn't tell you which one I had. And they just call them, you know, by number.
Right.
So I don't know if it was curvature 2, 3, or 4. I don't fucking know. It was purple, and I liked it. That's it. So
cool. So that's our list. I'm sure everyone else has different ones that they liked. But if you have any that you want us to check out, then maybe we get to our top 10 for the year. Let us know, because we're always looking for new stuff.
That's true. And then, you know, drink some with us or share so we can know what you like.
Definitely, yeah.
Know it. We can hear about it and then also know what it's doing.
Mm-hmm. Then we didn't really make it anywhere. The last episode that probably went up was a Twisted Hippo interview, and we hung out there. That was probably our biggest spot. We hung out.
Yeah, man. Cheers to Carl Rutherford and the wee baby Rutherford.
Yeah.
Yeah. We hung out in the back there. Got a rundown of the place. They're toying with the idea of live music. They're toying with the idea of outdoor seating, too. Yeah.
So it was really cool to check in with them, check out the space, just hang out there, tasty food, tasty beer.
You know, the last couple nights over dinner, man, I've had, like, today, I had the Notorious ESB, which is a double IPA named after the hops that they use. I think Simcoe was one. I forget the other two. Simcoe and Mosaic, maybe. Okay. Also, the night before, I had the Brewhouse IPA with dinner. And those both just seemed to work. I didn't have to think about them, and they worked with what I was doing.
Yeah, I had I'm Just a Pills, and then I took a picture of it. I forget which one it was. But, yeah, they're both nice beers.
Yeah.
So hopefully you enjoyed that episode. Hopefully it sounded good. And that was our main stop. So we got a lot of news to talk about. There's a lot of stuff that's been happening.
That's right.
As things, as the world changes, stuff is happening. Yeah. Where do we want to start? We were talking about seltzers, and should we just talk about this Goose Island?
Oh, yeah.
Bourbon barrel-aged seltzer.
Little brand extension there from the good folks at Goose Island. So this is a 6.1% aged in bourbon barrels, and it's a seltzer.
With a similar branding look as Bourbon County Stout. Color, you know, scheme, at least from the label or the piece we've seen.
They lean into the Bourbon County vibe a lot with that label. They do.
So I have a lot of thoughts on this. I want to try it.
Yeah.
I will try it. But this feels like a full-on cash grab from Goose Island and AB, as maybe AB was like, hey, you need to have a seltzer. Everyone likes these seltzers. And Goose is like, no, we don't want to do that. How do we do it with keeping true to who we are? And they're like, oh, well, what if we barrel age this seltzer? Which is fine. And, you know, I think of it along the lines of barrel aged coffee, which is fun to try, but I don't want it.
After you have a bag, like I've had a bag of barrel aged coffee, and it doesn't have booze in it. But the aromatics are reminiscent of like a barrel aged spirit.
When it's 6 or 9 a.m. and you got Malort coffee, you're like, this sucks.
It's not as fun as it sounds.
No,
it's really not. That's the fact. So, yeah.
At least the seltzer thing, it's supposed to have alcohol in it. But when I drink a seltzer, I don't want the booze. Like I want the Freedom series. Like I want the juice, the fruit, the pink lemonade, RTJ. I want like a non-beer thing.
I understand what you're saying. You know, I was reading some descriptions on Prosecco, and it talked about it, you know, just being light and dry and full of tiny bubbles, and how that's what made it cool, Prosecco, right? And, you know, Italian sparkling wine. What made it cool is that it doesn't taste like a red wine. You know, I don't want these other characteristics of, you know, these heavy tannins, you know, and the same rules apply here, but to your point, you know, if I'm drinking this kettle sour, I don't really want it to be anything other than a fucking kettle sour.
Yeah,
you know?
I almost think of Mitten when I think of Goose doing a bourbon barrel seltzer. Mitten is great, but if I want a cider, I don't want bourbon cider.
I imagine, I've never had it, but when I was saying in the pre-show, when we picked up the Eisbach and then the English Bourbon County, they were talking about this seltzer. And I think he was kind of describing it like, you know, it kind of tastes like whiskey where the ice kind of melted in it, you know.
That sounds gross.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, I assume that that's going to be cool.
So I want watered-down bourbon? Is that what you're going to be drinking is watered-down bourbon?
Right. I mean, because seltzers are small. It's a, you know.
But this is a 6% seltzer. That's kind of big.
It's kind of big. But it's not going to have seltzers, even at high ABV, won't have a lot of flavor. Mm-hmm. So this will be something that probably tastes watered down, right? It won't be something that tastes small and cool, you know. It'll taste like something like, fuck, I wish this had more to happening here. I wish there was more going on here.
Right, so you think it's going to be in that weird spot of where the pink lemonade tastes like pink lemonade. It tastes exactly like that, and it's, what, 4.5% or 4.3%? This is 6%, and it's not going to have any flavor. It's like, I want big flavor, low ABV, like these Freedom beers. Like, I just go back to them.
Exactly.
4.5%, big flavors. They taste great.
Yes.
You can have multiple of them, and
it does. It's not like, you know, you're drinking, you know, it's not like you're drinking Bud Light when you drink a Freedom beer, right?
Yeah.
It's way more attitude. But I'm wondering how long was this thing in a barrel? And then I wonder what kind of barrel experience can we expect from this thing?
Right. Are they going to have different barrels? Are there going to be limited release versions at Goose? Are they going to try to run with that? Like, oh, here's the Elijah Craig seltzer. And like, that, you're going to burn people out on that fucking bullshit fast.
There's there is a Saison from Allagash that they put in Jim Beam barrels for like 3 months. I think it's called Curio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine. It's a Belgian ale with like a huge whack of alcohol and some, you know, just kind of some faint whiskey whispers.
Yeah.
But whiskey's not the focus. You know, it really comes across when you smell it and, you know, and the ABV is higher.
Yeah.
But it doesn't particularly taste like whiskey, even though it hung out for 90 days in a whiskey barrel.
Okay.
So maybe something like that. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe. But there's so much backlash from beer people.
Brad is passionate about this.
Beer
man.
People that like don't like the seltzer scene. Like people even joke on our like comments and stuff.
That's true.
About we were
drinking RTJ, I think.
Like beer nerds don't like seltzer. Like,
yeah.
I don't mind it. I like that RTJ one. I have City Water at the house. Like I'll have them sometimes. I'm not like there's not a lot of passion for it, but. The people that are like Bourbon County people, the people that wait in line for phase 3 or more or whatever, they fucking hate seltzers.
Yeah, you have, you know, you have Gozas that don't really taste like the mass-produced beers. And then you have these wild ales that kind of blur the lines between wine and beer. And then you have ciders, which have always been a staple at beer festivals, have been ciders. And all that stuff's been cool, but you know, the first two were beers, the second was a cider, but this one is really just kind of way more polarizing. It's not beer, and people, it's putting people in camps, and people are like, fuck the seltzer.
Yeah, I wonder if this hurts Goose's, like, those Bourbon County, or those bros that love Bourbon County. Are they on with the seltzer game? I guess maybe that Goose crowd is, that Wrigley Goose crowd.
Yeah.
They're the White Claw Bourbon County people, and they're like, well, if I can have a Goose White Claw.
You can't ignore the segment, right? Like the people,
right.
People who drink white, what are they called? Seltzers. You can't deny it. I was reading about that facility, you know, Mike's Hard Lemonade and White Claw folks, they got together. They got this gigantic facility out in Arizona. They kind of built a town around it, basically.
Okay.
You can't deny that there's a ton of people to drink it. And then they're fresh off the heels of the success of the 312 remix, which was the Shandy. They said it's the biggest selling beer they've ever had, the biggest selling debut beer they've ever had. So they're just kind of like, hey, this was something that traditionalists at Goose, the longtime Goose guys, were like, I don't know about this shit, but they rolled the dice and went with it. So I guess they're saying, hey, well, that worked. Where else can we go?
It's fun. Yeah. I'm glad I had it. I haven't picked up any more. I've thought about it. It didn't make our list of top beers.
I'll have it over the OG 312. And I think, I don't know if it goes much beyond that for me. Yeah. It's fun. It's fun once around.
If I see both, if I saw 312 and that one in the fridge, I would stop and like make sure there's nothing else in the fridge. And then I would take the lemonade one, yeah. Lemonade. That's all you got? What? All right.
You do a double take, huh?
Yeah. That's a weird selection to have here, but okay.
I'm going to do a double take, make some comments, and then I'll pick one of these 312s here.
Yeah. Anyone else bring it and make a run? But I'm excited to try this Goose. I'm not excited. I want to try it.
And then I don't know if are there any other ones that are barrel aged?
Barrel aged, yeah.
The seltzers, are there any? Is anyone else doing this?
I haven't seen that yet, so it's an interesting spin on it.
Yeah. It sounds so silly, but it might. You know, who knows? It might be fun.
Yeah. I guess in other ridiculous Chicago-ness that's happening, Forbidden Root is taking over the Band of Bohemia space.
The people have spoken loudly and proudly, and they've decided that they want more Forbidden Root, Brad.
This is a shocker to me.
We often talk about Band of Bohemia and seeing them at Fest and how the experience of the food and the ambiance and all that shit, it plays well in its location.
Yeah.
Band of Bohemia stuff. I don't know if it translated well at all outside of that.
No.
But it was a cool birthday spot. You know, cool celebration spot.
And it was neat. It was neat inside. They have fun music. It was just kind of a unique space.
I felt like I was in, like, some kind of funky...
I wonder what happened with
1800s
their...
1800s Paris bar or something.
Yeah, that was kind of the vibe. I wonder what happened with their Kickstarter that they were doing, where they were going to, like, hey, give us money to open up our arcade upstairs. Did they give that?
At Band of Bohemia?
Yeah, they had a Kickstarter right before the pandemic happened.
They put it up their nose. How do Kickstarters work? Like, if you don't reach the thing, or if you don't do the thing, you got to get the money back? Or?
No, if you don't do the thing, you don't get the money back. Or you don't give it back.
I've often wondered what happened to that, and what happens if you run for president and they give you all this money. Like, what do you do? It probably goes back to the party, whatever party you're with. It goes back to them.
Not necessarily. Trump has all that money.
You just keep it?
You keep it, but you can only use it for certain things. That's why people get in trouble for... there's rules involved in it, so people get in trouble all the time, but the rules are very loose.
Okay. Yeah, I've always just wondered out loud, like, what happens if people give you stuff for those things?
You can't, like, pay your bills, but you could do things that are like, hey, I took a trip here to go visit this person. Oh, I use campaign funds for that. So.
Okay.
It's loose. But anyway, yeah.
So Band of Bohemia is out. Because they're done. They stopped.
Yeah, and the...
Y'all want
to... Who won it?
And stopped. Go ahead.
Who thought Forbidden Root expanding here was a... good idea? Like, this is no disrespect to Forbidden Root. I think we've always said we did an episode there. On Chicago is great.
One of the cooler episodes we've done, yeah.
The beer that they have made out of Chicago facility has been great. Once they went to Ohio, the beer, it did not translate very well.
We did a spinoff episode on some Forbidden Root can that
I think a chocolate one or something.
Yeah, when we weren't huge fans of the can or the beer.
Right.
It didn't feel as, when you add Forbidden Root, there seems to be like a very serious attention to detail. You know, everything's like it's like very meticulous and thought out.
Yeah.
And, you know, and things are good. You know, I feel like, that's how I feel every time I go there. And I don't know if I felt that when I had this can that came from Ohio.
Yeah, something happened after when we were there. They were starting their hazy series, like Small Talk and like a few other ones. Those were all great. People were on board with their hazy program. And then pandemic happened, Ohio happened, and it's like, what happened to your beer here?
I wonder what the end game is here. Like, are you brewing there with the intention of pushing it to Ohio? Like, how does this affect your supply chain, having this other brewery?
Right, you now have two breweries in Chicago. Are you brewing? You're going to brew out of both of them and brew in Ohio? Seems greedy as fuck.
How does this all work? Like, does the market, are they responding to the market by doing this and having this third brewery? Like, that's the people that are saying, get on, we need a Forbidden Root North. That's what we need.
I guess. I think it's nice.
Are they moving? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, what's, I feel like something's being left out here.
Yeah, I think having the food component, the food at Benihana, we said, was good, but having burgers and more of like a casual place makes more sense up there, and I think people will go there more because you went to Band of Bohemia as like a special occasion place. Yeah. You didn't just like wander in for like a pint and a burger.
It wasn't like the happy hour vibe, no.
So you may do that now at the new location up north, but yeah, just what's, it seems like we didn't necessarily need two Forbidden Roots in Chicago. Not that they're like bad. It's just I don't think we need it too.
I don't have anything to add. I think that about sums it up.
Yeah. So hopefully it works out for them. It's nice that the space is still a brewery, so that's cool. I feel like that's like the best thing. It's not just turning into like
fucking condos.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Or I'm curious to see how it goes.
Yeah.
I might stop in there. It is a little easier to get to from way up north.
Okay. Yeah. we got a couple other things. Fests are back, right?
Yeah, man. Beer in the Glass, the legendary Beer in the Glass. I think pound for pound it might be the best party. You know, Phobab of course is the most revered party.
Mm-hmm.
Phobab's in a, you know, it's in a
warehouse basically.
Yeah, it's in a convention center.
Yeah,
you know, Beer in the Glass is where you want to be if you're only going to one.
Mm-hmm.
Beer in the Glass is back, limited capacity. I was trying to find some stats on it real quick.
We are probably not going to get invited because we have...
We're always telling them what they're not doing.
Doing wrong, but glad to see you're doing... We talk positively about Oak Park, but I don't think that's part of the guild, right?
It was at one point, yeah, but no, not anymore. It's like, they broke off. Mm. Oh, that's not a guild anymore.
But they got Friday Night Flights...
Friday Night Flights, I think, is probably the best thing they've done in the last few years.
Yeah.
So, Beer Under Glass, August 27th.
Okay, August.
Special edition. So, hashtag bug is back.
Bug is back.
Bug is back. Yeah.
I think this is great for the conservatory because you, one, want to get people coming back there.
Mm-hmm.
Great for Bug. It's probably they had to have been losing money, the guild. Like, these events make money so they can do other things.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. August 27th puts it right in the middle of summer. You know, it's like Lollapalooza territory, like August. Mm-hmm. So that'll be fun
because it would have just happened here end of March,
and it might have been cold and gross like it is today.
Yeah,
or it will not be cold and gross in August,
or 5 days ago when it was 80.
Well, it could have been 80. Yeah. So that's good. That's a good party.
And then there was another festival that's back too this weekend, right?
Oh, yeah. The Microphone.
Oh.
Microphones Smells Like a Beer Fest is back.
So it had already happened after this episode goes up, but it's back. And we're not going because they snubbed Nick last time on this.
I had some issues. Well, we all had issues because it was canceled because that was when Rona kicked off. And you had two choices. You could either donate the money to the brown paper tickets. You could either donate the money to the cause. I think they were building, there's an old folks home in Elk Grove Village where Microphone is, and they were building out like an escalator or something in the old folks home. And you could donate to that, or you could just get a refund through brown paper tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't Microphone, it was a brown paper tickets issue.
Okay.
Where a lot of refunds got, delayed or just didn't happen.
You would have thought that they would have given the people who had previous bought tickets a priority ticket or half priced on these tickets, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, I think you just kind of said, hey, you know, it was a fundraiser anyway. If you want to come pick up the beer and the glasses, you can do that.
Yeah.
I think that was about the extent of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So this sounds like a 2-day fest. Mm. They got a milkshake at Tiffany's. It sounds like a milkshake IPA version of that breakfast at Tiffany's Berliner Weiss that I like.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. They got that. It looks like it's the release of 3 barrel-aged versions of Smells Like Bean Spirit, which is kind of their flagship Imperial Coffee Stout.
Okay.
So they got that going on. And, yeah, it looks like a 2-day festival.
So. Well, that's pretty neat. So fests are back. Pandemic's over.
It's over. Mission accomplished.
We did it.
It's over.
Cheers to all of us.
Good job by you.
Yeah. And then the last thing before we get out of here, our mayor is trying to screw over drinkers in Chicago, proposing that liquor stores and grocery stores cannot sell alcohol after 9 p.m.
Yeah, what the hell is this, man? I saw something.
And so this would happen, but bars and restaurants can continue to sell liquor after 9 p.m., and they'll also be able to sell likely cocktails and drinks to go.
Oh, so is that the exchange there?
It's basically, hey, the restaurants were hurt during the pandemic. We need to basically have a way for them to make more money because, you know, drinking out in public is way better and safer than getting drinks to go home. Because, you know, you're driving, you know, all that stupid stuff. This is the dumbest thing ever.
The shortest gay mayor in American history is, she's on a roll with this one, man. After this is the follow-up to her giving the cops, like, you know, $60 million of the PPP money.
Right.
Now she's like, liquor stores got to close early. And it's to offset so that instead of getting your liquor to go from stores, you get it to go from...
Yeah, but you couldn't like buy a 6-pack to go. But there's like the proposal, you know, how you can buy like cocktails for delivery now and things like that. I think they want to continue that, so you'll be able to probably continue that. But you can't really consume it on the street. But if you got like food and drink to go, if you were at a restaurant, people are drinking that on the street.
I'm going to the park.
Right.
I'm gonna hang out. I'm gonna find a spot in the shade.
But when you buy drinks at the liquor store or corner store, you usually take it home.
You're likely going home. There's no food component.
Yeah.
I think the odds are you're going home. Yeah.
And then if you're on, if you're somewhere, this doesn't have a huge effect on the north side, but if you're somewhere on the south side, there's not a lot of restaurants or bars. So if you're like, oh, it's 10 o'clock and we want to keep this party going, oh, we can't buy any more liquor because it's now too late. We can only go to a bar. It might be far.
There's some truth there.
So you run into that where you're having to cause, you're basically taking rights away from people. Like, you can buy stuff all the time. Sure, during the pandemic, people were making exceptions and not going out as late. But now, what? I can't.
It could be, well, now that we brought it up, like a benefit of it could be that more restaurants open in places that there's no restaurants.
That could.
Like, if I was looking for a spot somewhere south to open a restaurant, it's like, well, now I have more incentive to because...
You're going to get that late-night crowd. But you don't always want that late-night crowd. That late-night crowd is not the best crowd, no matter where you are.
It'll be a rose, but it's going to have some thorns on it. You know, as roses have, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm not often looking to buy more beer or alcohol after 9, after 10 o'clock, you know?
Ready-made cocktails is interesting, you know, because yeah. I've had, my love for Lost Lake is, you know, endearing and forever. Oh, so I'm always down for, you know, some to-go cocktails. I'm just into that aspect of it. So I could see that being a value add. Like, hey, you know, just give me, and then, you know, you take the liberty to package it and make it look real cool, you know. Give me some fun cups to go with it, some nice ones, not the bullshit ones, and I'm in. You know, I'm in for that part of this.
Sure.
But
then any convenience store, like we're right here next to Miska's, they have zero reason to be open, right, after 9 o'clock now? They have other drinks and chips. Why would you ever pay someone to be open now? Because your sales are coming from liquor and other things at night, cigarettes probably. But
Lotto tickets.
Yeah. So why would you still be open? It's like, all right, 9 o'clock. Plan we're just shutting down, and basically, that late night crew or overnight crew, that might another job, hours lost by people. So I don't know. You got to give people all the options. Like, don't take them away.
What you have to do, Brad, is embrace the democratic police state. That's what you have to do, okay? Man, I'm feeling good off these freedom of expressions, man.
4.5% fruit we're drinking here. It's basically a mimosa or beer mosas right here. But I think that's all we can complain about.
You know, I think we did a good job.
We got our top beers and then our gripes of what's happened in the city.
That works. Good call on the best beers of 2021 so far list. I think that's, you know, that needed to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you have your favorites, yeah, let us know. And then be sure to follow us on all our things. We have been slacking on our Instagram photos lately.
We were on fire, man. We were on fire.
Burnt out.
Yeah, we took some time off.
I took it. So
we'll be back.
Yeah, so look for those. Look for our stupid TikToks, live streams. And then, Nick, where can people find you, get in touch? We're not here.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, at BRAT. And we'll be back soon with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.